This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here. And join me each week for insights from my guest host and an industry first, a live virtual shop tour. Hey, take the Automotive Trivia Challenge, catch up on our weekly content, and as always, know that you'll learn just one thing. Hey, the video version of the show is on my YouTube channel and the Aftermarket Weekly page on RemarkableResults.biz. Hey, everybody, Carm Capriotto, Aftermarket Weekly Live. What episode is this? My God, 61 weeks in a row. So much fun to do this. I love to do this. We're going to have a great show today. As you can see, Chris Cotton is with us and Tiffany Sherrato. Yes, always special to see a shop tour and get some great advice from one of your industry peers. We're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix studios. And I love to do this show. I have to tell you, pulling aftermarket professionals together for the good of the industry and offering great aftermarket insights. I mean, I guarantee you, you can always, always learn just one new thing hanging out with me on all of our different podcasts. Who's with me today, as I said, Chris Cotton, Auto Fix, Auto Shop Coaching. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Carm?
Going great, my friend. Thanks for being here. And Tiffany Sherrato from Lifetime Transmissions, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. When I think of Broken Arrow, I think of a cowboy movie. I don't know why. It's just what I think. Right?
Yeah. Cowboys, Indians, tornadoes. We're known for a lot of things.
How many years in business?
Also an airplane video or airplane movie. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes. We moved into this building that we're going to be touring in 2016. In 2004, we started offering our famous lifetime warranty transmissions. But my father, who co-owns the facility with me, has been building transmissions since the mid to late 90s, like 98.
Well, good for you. A great family business. Here's a picture of the place we're going to tour. How many square feet is that?
Almost 10,000, just under 10,000 square feet, and we have 10 bays.
Wow. 10 bays, 10,000 square feet. What a facility. Unbelievable. Ironically, and I didn't plan this, we did a shop tour of a transmission specialist last week with Aiden McDonald. Chris, you were with me in an episode that I think is a classic by now, and it was proof of concept. I talk about this episode all the time. I appreciate you coming on, speaking to the fact that we needed to be doing certain things all right along as the industry moves and changes and evolves. There are things that people need to keep up with. Well, when COVID hit, this was an episode about the proof of all the things that we were supposed to be doing, and the ones that were doing it right came out the other end, or at least are on fire post-COVID. And as they see the future, you know, the industry's up 11%, or at least it's projected to be up 11%. And so many that really did things right over time, double digits, 20, 25% growth. Do you see and hear that, Chris, from your clients?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're experiencing it all across the board. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're still doing better than we did last year, with last year being a banner year. And, you know, we're fighting the fight moving forward, just making sure that we're staying on top of the curve. I do hear from some people that are like, oh, everything's great. And so they've settled back into the pre-COVID days of, you know, not calling customers back, and they're letting some of those things slide. And then they're like, oh, well, now we're noticing a slip. I'm like, that's right, because what you knew 18 months ago is not the same as now. You have to do what we did last year, this year, and you'll be fine. Just keep plowing ahead.
You know, there's a point in time where you end up reinventing yourself or become hungry again, okay? And you can't stop. If it worked and it was, and you enjoy growth, new opportunities, new customers, COVID's almost over with. Let's go back to normal. And there is no new normal.
Nope. It's just forward.
Here's our agenda for today. Chris is going to talk about productivity with us. We're, of course, going to see the shop tour out at Tiffany's place. I've got a great, cool trivia question for you that's going to come up in just a second, and give you a weekly update of what's going on with the podcast. Don't forget, we publish the podcast every Saturday morning. This show that we do live becomes repurposed. You can always see it on the YouTube channel. But you actually have to get a chance to get it in your ear wherever you go as a podcast on Saturday. Now, here's our trivia question for you all. If you own a Ford pickup or a Honda Civic, what statistic are you part of? Fords and Hondas, interesting. What statistic are you part of? Dorman consistently is looking for improved solutions to help save time and money for those who are performing the repairs. Dorman's all-in-one loaded backing plate solution does just that. With zero assembly required, you can now stop disassembling multiple pieces to make backing plate and e-brake repairs. Dorman's loaded backing plates deliver a complete solution. This assembly replaced all the failure-prone components by combining parking brake shoes and hardware onto the backing plate. The pre-mounted parking brake shoes, springs, and clips for a bolt and go solution. Want to know more about Dorman? Well, visit DormanProducts.com/tour. Hey, you'd like to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour. Today, we released an episode, Chris and Tiffany, Golf Cart Goldmine. I have to tell you something. This was a very interesting and fun departure. Mark Repke owns a shop, and more than 50% of his business now is golf carts. And you need to hear his story, and you need to hear the strategy behind it. It is the coolest. It's a fun, fun episode, and it's going to get your think going on. And Mike Davidson, a John Maxwell leadership coach, teacher, and trainer, leadership episode part three. I just love talking to Mike. We're doing five of these in a row. And this is number three. And of course, we released the episode, the Town Hall Academy as a podcast. Number two, Second in Commands, which is frankly, as the businesses grow today and we are finding opportunities to find other things to do as the visionary of the company and or grow our business, having a COO or a general manager are important. We had a great episode on that. And of course, the Aftermarket Weekly episode from last week came out with Scott Brown and Aidan McDonald this past Saturday. Hey, Chris, are you ready to take it home about productivity, man?
Absolutely. Let's talk about it. This is a new spin as I advance with my repair shop clients. We're working on productivity and we fix policy and procedure issues. And then where do we get this last 10% gain in productivity and things like that? You know, a lot of the stuff I talk about, front of the house, back of the house, because I equate it to restaurants because past experience, whatever. But I want you to measure the stops and the starts in the business, both at the front of the house and the back of the house. Recently, I listened to some customer phone calls. What we found was out of 40 phone calls in a day, 7 of them were good phone calls. And the rest of them were, is my car done yet? You know, you haven't contacted me, things like that. And those are all things that, especially with our technology nowadays, we can handle that by text. We can handle it by somebody else doing it. So as an owner, I want you to sit back and look at your business, go sit in the front area, just listen and see how many stops and starts, because when we lose productivity at this point, it's because somebody stops the job they're working on and starts another job and then has to come back. And I don't care how good you are, if you're stopping something, starting something and going back, you have this lag time of your brain fog going back and forth.
Yeah.
So in the front of the shop, I want you to look at that as a service advisor. If they're writing a ticket, if you can't get tickets out on time, things like that, what is holding them up? What are their stops and starts? I also want you to look at it in the shop. If you have, you know, a lot of shop owners, they want like 5 master technicians, and for whatever reasons, that's what they want. And then when they go back and look, and we look at stops and starts, we have master technicians that can bill out a 10-hour job in 6 hours, and they're stopping to do an oil change or an oil service, or they're stopping to do a rotate and balance. So what we're calling these new people in these shops, and I have a couple of shops doing this right now, and we could, you know, do a show on it later if we wanted to, is we have production assistants is what we're calling them in these roles. And they are there to help the shop owner the technician produce hours to make sure that they're focused on their job. They start, they stop, then there's not any minimal stops and starts in between. And what we found is that by doing this, we are more productive. The margins are a little bit better because we have, you know, these people doing everything they can. But here's the thing I want you to remember is we're not just taking these people and throwing them in the shop. We're giving these people up to 8 weeks of training before we're letting them individually do that. So in the beginning, it's how do we do a great oil service? How do we do a great DVI? And how do you do your job better, and then easing them into these positions?
So smart, Chris. I agree with you 100%. There isn't anyone who says when they stop and they start, they fall behind. But I guess the question that I have is, if there's a really important issue that needs to be discussed, is there a discipline inside the company that says to hold, to pause, to wait? I mean, is there a special time to interrupt anyone?
Well, you know, if it's important, obviously, but what is important? And what is important in Tiffany's shop may be not important in Carm's shop. So those are internal policies and procedures that you have to write and create around that. I'm almost of the mind at this point to that, you know, we have a service advisor position, but in the near future, I think we're going to have, I don't even know what we're going to call these people yet, but you know, it's not a social media position, but it's almost a technology and touching the customer in a great way position. Because now you have places like My Shop Manager, you have email requests coming in, you have appointment requests coming over email. That's a full-time job. Somebody just making appointments, answering requests and things like that. Are you seeing that, Tiffany, in the stuff that you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we split it up because obviously my service advisor is busy at the front with the customers and the appointments for the day. So she's got to make sure they're taken care of while we're still bringing in the new contacts from the emails and the texting and the contact forms from the website. So, yeah, there's a lot of that. And we all kind of I'm a big proponent of everybody being cross-trained. So that way, when somebody's out or if there's a sudden absence, everybody kind of knows what everybody else is doing for the day. So that's one way we kind of deal with that so that one person isn't just burdened and overloaded.
I love the concept, Chris. And let me just throw this idea out while you continue here. Customer care, manager of customer care, it's like a concierge at a hotel. And I can see that with all the complexities of follow-up and follow-through, callbacks, two-week callbacks, one-month callback.
Particularly right now with everybody being booked 2 and 3 weeks out. I mean, it's very, very common right now.
And if you can be the shop that answers the request on Google My Business and everybody else is like 2 to 3 weeks out and you can get them and talk to them and manage that and bring it in. I mean, we probably have 8 to 10 different ways to communicate. And we haven't even talked about if you do RepairPal, AAA and other stuff. Like each one of those has their own dashboard and everything, ways to communicate. The other thing is this takes us right back to proof of concept. These are all things that we learned last year. And up to now that the customers are fine getting updates via text and everything like that. And so if you set yourself as a shop that does that and do it, don't say you're going to do it and not do it. I mean, we have a wonderful opportunity to take care of our customers in a great way and build value. And those that are doing it are busy and great. And those that have slacked off are kind of falling by the wayside again.
So I have a question about post-COVID, which I think we're all at different stages or levels of. How do we sit down? Frankly, I think I'm going to answer my own question. We should sit down with our entire team and say, rewind 6 to 9 months ago. What were we doing? What were we thinking? How were we acting? What was our response to COVID? What really worked to get us where we are today? And if we stop doing it, why? And if not, let's analyze and reinvent our business model, our strategy, the way we work, processes and procedures. And I think we get a little too lazy. It kind of reminds me of the, I don't have to wear a mask now anymore. So the air's come out of the balloon. And I think we need to use this to blow air back up into the balloon.
And so now here's a term: forevermore, we will always be post-COVID, right?
Yes.
We will never live in a world where we didn't know about COVID or it didn't happen. And I've been in the industry long enough to know that there's always some sort of crisis, either nationally or regionally or locally, that will affect your business. And so what did we learn from during COVID that we need to do and continue forward? And you know, our business is going to change in the next 12 months again. I don't know how yet, but it's going to. It's going to happen.
I absolutely love it. Forevermore, we are post-COVID.
Always.
Do you own that quote?
I just came up with it. You need to mark that down along with some of my other ones. They always come out on the Carm Show.
Yeah, that's right. We always bring the best of Chris Cotton out, right. And I've written it down, so I'll have to give you credit for it, my friend. Hey, awesome. Thank you so much, Tiffany. Thanks for your input in this, Chris. Thanks. It was short. It was sweet. It was powerful. Always appreciate it, Chris. Tiffany, good to have you here. Thanks for getting this recorded with daughter Tracy. I appreciate that.
All right. So it starts in our lobby. That's our front counter where we greet our customers. You can see we have a lot of military memorabilia. We love our military. This is our service advisor's office. So she does have a somewhat quiet place where she can work and work on work orders. That way, when customers come in, she can still see them. We call it the fishbowl. Okay. Now, this is one of everybody's favorite parts in the building. That's overhead with the lighting. You caught us on just before 4th of July weekend. So we have our red, white, and blue. Typically, it's all blue. That's the area where the customers will sit. You can see it was pretty rainy outside that day, so we didn't get to do an outdoor tour. But you can see we have a good-sized parking lot, which was our favorite thing when we built this building because we were always running out of space. But now we're running out of space over here, so it's a good thing. Now, right here, if you want to pause it for just a second, because I know it goes kind of quick, we found all of these items in the trash can when we were getting ready to move. Our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and customers love coming in. We framed it. Love coming in and reading all that on the wall. They'll stand over there and read it while they're waiting on their vehicle. But that's pretty fun, and we display that proudly in our office.
That's excellent. All the military and all the great, if you will, our independence constitution stuff, is it because are you near an army base?
No, Oklahoma is just a state that's just very patriotic. Okay. We do have a lot of military. We do have a couple of bases in Oklahoma. My dad was in the Air Force. His dad was a Green Beret. My grandfather and uncle on my mother's side were Navy, our builders, military. He was in the Army. We just have a lot of military people in the company, and we appreciate them. Deidre, our service advisor there, her husband was military. She spent a lot of time moving around the world as a military wife with her family. So
excellent.
That's her second desk. That's where we check the customers out and check them in.
Well designed. I like what I see.
Thank you. It's the restroom. And then all the offices are back this way. That's my office.
Okay. Is Dad still working every day?
Dad still works every day. He's one of those guys I don't think I can ever get to retire.
All right. Okay.
Probably I get always it. That gentleman, he is our outside sales guy. He actually works with shops. We sell transmissions. We're distributors for a number of different companies, mm-hmm. and we distribute units to automotive shops and other transmission shops.
Lunchroom?
Throughout state. It's a conference room / yes, we use it. That's my assistant, Ashley. Mm-hmm. This is the outside sales office. We have an assistant for Andy in there for incoming calls. Then this is my other sister. So it is truly a family business. There's two of four girls working there.
Great.
Yes. And then this is the shop. There's Terry, our builder.
It's beautiful. It's clean.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Yes. It's always clean. A lot of students come in and take tours. We like to be able to bring our customers back if we want to educate them on the transmission or show them what happens. So we don't want them climbing over things or having to worry about stepping in messes. So it is extremely clean. We keep everything neat and organized. And the type of people we want working there are clean, neat, organized people. So we want the best of the best. It is also heated and air conditioned, which the guys love. They're pretty spoiled with that.
You know, it just says we do quality.
Yes. We expect a lot from our guys, but we're really lucky that we have a team that's willing to give a lot. Now, that's my dad's office. Most of the time, he's out in the shop helping the guys, so he's not in there very often. And then they have their own coffee area with their uniforms. They have their own bathroom. Everything in the shop is touch-free. So they have a pedal for their sink there that they can turn on and off. That's their restroom. I have to make sure I knock.
Verify. Yeah.
Yeah. All the lights come on when you enter the rooms. Even the bathrooms are clean. And then we do have a shower on those unfortunate events when you spill transmission fluid all over yourself.
Got it. Sure. I see that. I understand. Who keeps it clean, Tiffany?
When we moved over here, believe it or not, we started paying a company. It's $70 a month to get them to clean our restrooms. And my dad says that's the best $70 a month he spends because now he doesn't have to do it anymore. So
nice.
Yeah. And then that's their break room for the guys out in the shop.
It sounds like the culture that you have. Do you ever barbecue or do some lunches in
in-house? Yeah, we do a lot of catering. Okay. We'll bring stuff in for their birthdays and anniversaries. You know, we honor them for stuff like that.
How big is your team?
I have two builders. So Terry, and he's training, and his son, who's caught on really, really quickly. He's done great. That's Terry there. His son was in the build area. Then right now we have Eric is our R&R guy. That was Dylan. He was training in. He's no longer with us. He had some issues with his dad. And then we have two students that were training in from the technology center that's not too from us, that are too far from us, that's doing excellent, really, really excellent. If there's any recommendations I could give to a shop right now, I think a lot of the bigger shops are already doing it. In order to get your hiring, you are going to have to work with the schools. Build those relationships. And the better relationship you have with them, the better students you're going to get.
Boy, isn't that true?
They called us and they said, these are my two best students. And they sent them over. And they've got tools. The schools have been working with the adult classes on making sure that they get tools they need to start them off. That's been helpful. We do have a cart also. And I think there's going to be a lot more of those programs coming out because I know the smaller shops that need help right now, you know, especially the ones that are starting, it's hard to buy a whole bunch of extra tools to bring somebody on. It's hard to train somebody when it's just you trying to run the front end and the back end, you know, and you're trying to grow. That's certainly a struggle.
So the passion for organization, Tiffany, is it you, your sisters, your dad, or is it that's just how the business has been forever?
My dad is that way, and it just trickles down. I mean, you know how they say it starts at the top. If you want your culture or anything to be a certain way, it has to start with your leadership. And so we're all that way. And anybody that comes in, you know, we tell them, you got to clean up your messes. You can't leave your tools and your toolboxes all over the place. If you've got a mess before you go home, clean it up. Nobody wants to have to come over and pull a car onto a rack and you left, you know, dirt and trash all over the floor. So when things get pulled out, it's cleaned up and then they move on to their next vehicle. So like today, we cleaned up, stuff was getting ready to get pulled in again. But
it's gorgeous. What's upstairs?
Thank you.
Are you going to take us upstairs?
We are. We're going to give you a little view from up at the top. But yeah, up at the top, we just store a lot of cases, you know, different things that we might need that are too big to keep downstairs in the parts room. All of our electrical boxes and things up there, like your internet and that kind of stuff. All right. It's really just a storage space. But it's pretty cool to look at the shop from up there. There's Dalton. You can see everybody.
It looks like a surgery center.
Thank you.
Amazing. So I'm looking at three bays here. I think there were five at the other end or four or six.
10 total.
10 total bays plus the build area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the parts room and then the transmission storage because we do pre-build a lot of common units so we can keep our R&R guys busy. So kind of like Chris was talking about, that productivity part. If I've got a unit in there ready to go, and I know I do that particular truck a lot, then they can just come in there and I can build to replace it.
What'd you think, Chris?
I think it's beautiful. I would have loved to have had a shop like that back when I was an owner-operator. Outside of the beautiful shop, the thing that I admire the most is the fact that they're, you know, forward thinking and they're out there hiring younger people, teaching them, training them and bringing them up. I doubt Tiffany loses much sleep or spends much time complaining about the technician hiring crisis. And here's another one for you, Carm. We are in a post-COVID hiring renaissance right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You are going to do things for your technicians that you've always said you weren't going to do, but you're going to have to do it because everybody's looking for people right now. Everybody.
You're right. And when I heard Tiffany say the relationships with the schools is all what you make it is totally critical because the dealerships want those young people, and they put them through the 2-year mill, and then they cycle themselves completely out of the industry. So we got to grab them first. Can you imagine a couple of young people walking in to this shop, Lifetime Transmissions, and seeing this and saying, "Are you kidding me?
It's amazing.
I could work here. Where's my white lab coat?"
Well, and I will say it's a double-edged sword because we do finding the right technician, because you don't want any technician. You want a technician that's going to fit your team, right? Yeah, so yeah. We could hire just anybody, but we don't want just anybody.
Well, you need to be particular. And it's almost like someone saying, you know what, this isn't my kind of place because I like to be disorganized and sloppy. And yeah. The place speaks. It's culture. They wear their culture, if you will, on the epaulettes on their shoulder. I mean, it's there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we had one guy that he's like, "You guys just have an amazing shop." And he said, "If I were coming in, the first thing I would think is, well, this is a little intimidating because you can tell they clean all the time." So I was like, well, so we have to market a little bit different. We have to make ourselves a little more personable because the pictures and things they see, you know, for a technician can be intimidating because everything is so new. And we don't want them to think that they're walking into a place, even though it's nice, that it feels like a dealership. We are a small family business and we are involved in the community and with our schools. And we want to make sure that anybody coming in to apply knows that.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Tiffany Sherrato from Lifetime Transmissions in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Chris, did you have a final comment?
Yeah, I got one more question. Tiffany, did you just come up with that layout for the shop due to experience? Did you have somebody help you? How did you come up with how the shop's laid out and everything? And the design?
We did hire an engineer to do the floor plan. We knew what we wanted because we were in another building that we had rented for years. So we knew what we didn't want and we knew what we wanted. So he kind of got a layout that would work for us. And then as it was getting built, things like the lobby and the lights, we walked in and said, "Oh, no, I don't want that closed in. Let's throw some metal up there and make that a real focal point when people come in that, you know, they can enjoy it." So some of it was just kind of as we went. But yeah, we did have somebody help us design the building.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So if you're listening to this as a podcast, I really encourage you to go to the show notes page on the website or the YouTube channel and actually get a chance to see the video of this beautiful place. Tiffany, best to your family business. Thanks for being here. Don't be bashful. Come on the podcast anytime. Hey, let's do the trivia. Let's start ending the show here. Now, if you own a Ford pickup or a Honda Civic, what statistic are you part of? Well, here it is, everyone. Most stolen vehicles in the U.S., the Ford full-size pickup, 38,938. And the most stolen model year of that Ford pickup is 2006. Now, states where this vehicle was stolen the most: Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Indiana, Kansas, and on and on and on. Almost about 20 states, it's the number one vehicle. And Honda Civic, California, Minnesota, Nevada, Oregon, Utah. The Honda Civic has long been the most popular model to steal because it's such a common car and also shares parts across many Honda models. The most common stolen year was 2000, predates many anti-theft technologies. Imagine that. I always find these great gems, don't I?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, next week, Alan Beach from Beach Consulting is going to be with us. And our shop tour is from Greg Bednar from Greg's Champion Auto in Mankato, Minnesota. Wow. So look at everyone. Thanks for being here, guys. Always a pleasure. Chris Cotton, Auto Fix, Auto Shop Coaching, and Tiffany Sherrato from Lifetime Transmissions in Broken Arrow, Colorado. We'll all see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.